living the dream. Yay. And so I was just thinking about this. It's the first day of the new year. And for some people, they're pleased that 2015 is behind them. And I know some of the struggles that some people have had. For others, 2015 has been a good year of blessing. I want to encourage us to be a grateful and thankful people. Whatever the past year was, we're looking forward with expectancy to a new year with God. So for some last year, you've had good health, you've had financial blessing, you've been renewed by the Holy Spirit and refreshed. For some, you've found a Savior for the first time. Wow, there will be nothing greater from last year than that. New birth, got baptized, number of people got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Some have been blessed with new little children arriving. Maybe it's been a good year at work. All sorts of blessings have come our way for all sorts of people. But as I say, I know for others it's not been quite so easy. But I want to encourage us this year to come into the new year with thankfulness and gratefulness for God. Because even for those where it's been hard and it's been tough, I want to say, well done. You're still here. You've held on, you've endured. Paul says, those that remain to the... Jesus says, if you remain... Those what? Faithful to the end. I don't know what he says. He says something like, if you endure to the end, you'll receive the reward and the blessing. And I want to say, well done. I need to look up my Bible a bit, don't I? Who knows the Bible? Anybody got a Bible with them? I know where it is. It's at the end of one of the chapters, but if you can find... Paul's encouraging people to stand firm, and if you stand firm... Anyway, that's what you've done, so well done, guys, that have been finding it a bit hard. But I have got some scripture which we'll put up. Are we all right? Is it flashing up there or just down here? It's just down here, okay. So 2016. That's okay, this keeps going on and off. I thought it was up there, but okay, I'll carry on. So none of us know what 2016 holds, do we? But I really want to encourage us to go in with faith and expectancy for what God wants to do. And Malcolm shared a number of E's, which we can be looking forward to, receiving and enjoying too. You see, I don't believe God ever sends bad things to us. But we all need challenging things in our lives to strengthen our faith and our resolve in him. So it's not like he wraps us in cotton wool and keeps all negative, bad stuff away from us, but rather he allows some of this stuff, because it's like a tree. You know, when you've just had the storms, the trees which have survived are so much stronger the next time the storm comes. But those which didn't have very much root or were quite weak and feeble, they're already blown over when the storms come. And so God allows these challenges to come to us so that we can be strengthened in our faith and our resolve. And for many of us, we will have experienced that. Sometimes we can be left shaken, we can be left hurt, and we can even be confused about what seems to be happening around us. But I want to remind you of a scripture which says this, that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Whatever's happened in 2015, whatever's to come in 2016, we know, because there's a surety in our heart, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is a declaration of faith. That is where we put our trust and our confidence. I was just reading one of the Psalms this morning, and it was the time when David was surrounded by his enemies, and he was just saying, but you are my shield, you are my protector. I will trust in you, I will overcome all these enemies. So it wasn't at a time when he was experiencing the victory, but he had the confidence in God that he would deliver him. And we need to have that same confidence too if we are those which love him and are called according to his purpose. You see, life doesn't seem fair. And I've got to say, life isn't always fair. But God is always good. And we must never let go of that important truth. For some of us, when things come our way on a regular basis, we develop a victim mentality. And we begin to use words like, it always happens to me, or it never happens to me. Why is it always this way? And do you know what? The truth is, those two words give away where you're coming from. Because it's not always and it's not never. But because of your mindset, it feels like that to you, that it's always or never. And I think there's healing which we need to receive, because God's called us to overcome. He's called us to rule, not to dwell under our circumstances, but to rise above those circumstances, because we know that he who lives on the inside is greater than he that's in the world. And so when those hard times come, and Wendy, I just saw you somewhere, and I know you've had a hard year with health issues, and yet, Wendy McComb, but when I see you, Wendy, you're standing firm and you're standing strong, and she's a good husband supporting her through the process. And that is faith, and that's testimony of God's goodness. If you look for the bad, you'll find it. Job said, "That which I feared has come upon me." You see, negativity attracts negativity. Hurt people hurt people. Rejected people reject others. And then they wonder why they feel rejected themselves. And what I want to say, church, and I know it might sound superficial and there might be more needed, but let's leave all that behind. Let's draw a line and decide, I'm not going to focus on the bad, I'm going to focus on the good. And I'm going to develop an attitude of gratitude in this coming year. If I can't do that by myself, I'm going to find a friend, I'm going to find a cell leader, I'm going to find a pastor, I'm going to find someone that's going to help me draw that line and leave that behind and step over that and receive the blessing and the goodness that God has got for me for this coming year. You have a choice to make. You can decide it's too difficult, I can't do it, and stay behind there. Or you decide, I'm going forward. With the power of God inside of me, with a church to support me, with the Holy Spirit in me, I can overcome. And I will overcome in the name of the Lord. So let's leave all that behind. Let's refuse to be a victim of our circumstances. Let's declare that we are more than conquerors. And do you know what? Happy people attract happy people. And you'll find that there's people with joy around you. You'll find there's life around you. You'll find there's love around you. But we need to leave the negative behind and receive the goodness and the blessing of God in our lives. Amen. Amen. You see, God is good all the time. And when we focus on the bad, when we focus on the negative, and they all come our way, I'm not immune. But when we focus on these things, it's like we give the devil a foothold. We're letting him come in, maybe question our faith, maybe question what we're standing on. And we begin to look at the bad stuff around us, and we're beginning to agree with the devil. Oh, it's not working. Oh, I've had prayer. Oh, I've been there. Oh, I've done this. Oh, it's all so bad. We begin to agree with the devil rather than with God, who says, I've got a plan and I've got a purpose for your lives. We lose vision and we lose focus. And do you know what? I think one of the most... one of the people the devil uses most is those which have just become disillusioned and disappointed in life, because faith and expectancy just drains away. But God wants to renew you. He wants to refresh you today and over this coming year, that we may be men and women of faith and expectancy in him. Paul, St. Paul, he's one of my heroes. And even when things were really bad for him, and he records some of the stuff that he went through, I've noticed he doesn't focus on the bad stuff. This is what he says. But thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumphal procession. Now, this is using always in a good way. Thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumph or in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. You see, Paul didn't focus on the bad. Paul focused on good and on God. And Paul chose to express his thanks to God, who in Christ always led him in triumph. He was always expecting the victory to come. If you read about Paul, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was left for dead, all his friends left him, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was hot, he was cold. He went through everything, and yet that same person says, but thanks be to God, he always leads me in triumph. He always helps me conquer. He always helps me rise above those circumstances. Even if the circumstances don't change, I'm going to rise above them and live for God because God's got a calling on my life. Bad things happen to good people, but God is so much bigger. And we've just read, he turns all things to good for those that love him. And I just want to focus on a couple of aspects of that verse there. You see, this promise is conditional. It's not all things work together for good, blah, 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 blah. No, they don't. But all things work together for good to those who love him. We love him. Do you love him? If you love him, if you want to lay down your life for him, if you want to worship and adore him, thanks again, Matt, those songs. You know, if that is our life, if that's our expression of life, I've got something to tell you. He's going to turn things around for good. He's going to make the bad good. What the devil meant for bad, God's going to restore and turn around and change. Some of you need to receive that in your life now, if you love him. If you love him. We love because he first loved us. I was reading again, and I was just thinking about the three kings. Well, we don't know that it was three, however many kings they were. But I was thinking about the kings. They came and worshipped a baby who they didn't know, but they worshipped him because they saw a star. We worship someone we know. We worship him for what he's done for us. We worship him for who he is, and we live our lives for him. That's what loving him is all about. Hallelujah. But also, look in the verse there. It doesn't just say for those who love him, but also those who have been called according to his purpose. Here's a tweet from one of my heroes, Brian Houston. God has saved you and called you for his purpose. Live called, not just saved. Ah, I like that. Live called and not just saved. It's not just a matter of I've got my ticket to heaven. I put my hand up, I'm going to heaven. I've come forward, I'm going to heaven. No, God's got a plan and he's got a purpose for you. Live called and not just saved. That's a great New Year's resolution if you're into those. That's one of the differences I would love to see in LifeSpring. Maybe setting us apart even from some of the other churches because we're living called according to his purpose. We're not just thankful for our salvation, but we're responding to his purpose and his dream, God's dream, and for his dream in our lives. And you know, that's not just about coming on Sundays and attending cells. Why don't we make 2016 a year of souls and disciples? Just imagine if all of us committed to making Jesus known any way we can, and we bought in 100% to a discipleship structure, an equipping structure, to see souls formed and saved, disciples formed and leaders developed. Just imagine the difference which we could make in this town of Reading. Every week we have a chair, an empty chair in our cells. And we're provoking that cell to fill the chair. Bring somebody who doesn't yet know God. Bring somebody who's not yet saved. An invited guest into those cell meetings. And when that cell and when that chair gets filled and they connect, there's another empty chair the following week. So we're going to bring somebody else because our vision, our focus is his vision and focus, is souls and its disciples. Wouldn't it be good if we got intentional about this? Just imagine if what I shared to you earlier on, we really took seriously. I'd like to take it seriously. Every cell brings two people to Alpha. We'd have a course of 50, 60 people who don't yet know the Lord coming to hear the gospel. And I'm confident that the vast majority would find faith and salvation at the end of the course. But how about us fasting and praying for those that come on the course so that their eyes are opened and the obstacles, and there are so many obstacles, religious obstacles, cultural obstacles, faith obstacles, all sorts of obstacles. But wouldn't it be great if we saw souls saved, number of souls saved, scores of souls saved over this next year because we're committing to his dream and his purpose for us? I hope you're agreeing. You're not saying amen, but I hope you agree. Just imagine if every week we brought unsaved friends here on Sunday and every week after an appeal, hands went up to say, I want to give my life to Jesus. And we have a consolidation process where we can love them and care for them and help them find cell and help them grow in God and help them be part of family. That's part of God's plan, part of his purpose, part of his dream. So as Brian Houston says, church, let's not just live saved, but let's live called by God to fulfill his purpose. Each cell leader has a vision, not just to have a weekly meeting, but to raise 12 disciples who are going to disciple 12 others. That's an enormous vision. That's a powerful vision. If we were to take that seriously this year, we'd rock Reading. Because we would be doing the very thing that Jesus has called us to do. Hallelujah. One church leader wrote to me, and he said to me, what's wrong with Acts 2 model for church? So I said, nothing at all. I like Acts 2. I said, but what's wrong with doing it the way Jesus did? And you know when people used to have that little bracelet, WWJD? I think most people miss out one of the most crucial things which he did. They talk about the healings, they talk about the salvations, they talk about the miracles, they talk about the deliverances, they talk about the raisings of the dead. But he spent most of his time forming 12 men. He invested in 12 men. That's what Jesus did. If you want to wear that bracelet, what would Jesus do? You need to become a cell leader and have a vision to form 12 others, just like Jesus did. You see, because if Jesus hadn't invested in those 12 men, when he went back to heaven, the whole thing would have died down. But rather, there were 12 pillars, 12 rocks, which he'd established in which the church got built. And within a very short space of time, that church infiltrated and transformed Jerusalem and the known world of that time. Jesus knew what he was doing. Hallelujah. Just imagine if we did the same. Here's another quote, and I haven't got a picture for dear old Marcus, couldn't find one. But he says this, purpose is when you know and understand what you were born to accomplish. Vision is when you see it in your mind and begin to imagine it. I like that too. I think we need both. We need to understand and we need to see. And I hope this year, LifeSpring, we'll be able to join together under one clear purpose with all the other activities which happen, and I love every one of those, but one clear purpose, to win souls and to make disciples. We all know and we all understand that's what we're here for. That's what we were born to accomplish. Let's be very intentional and very focused. Sure, we'll worship. I love worship. I love praise. We will counsel, we will care, we will laugh and we'll have fun. We'll do bed for the night and we'll do preaching on the streets and whatever else people are involved in. But I want to encourage us to make winning souls and making disciples our main focus above everything else. And vision is beginning to see and imagine that in our mind and in our hearts. Beginning to see teams of 12 emerging, your team of 12 emerging. I'm going to heaven one day. Hopefully most of you are too. Before Paul went back to heaven, he said, I've not been disobedient to this heavenly vision which God's given me. I've said this before, but LifeSpring, I want that to be true of me. I don't want to be disobedient to the vision God's given me and he's given us. And for me, that is to see us becoming a lost, reaching church, which is going to win souls, make disciples, but beyond that, impact Reading and beyond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about having full house here. It's not about completing the pavilion and meeting once on the balcony and meeting two or three times over a weekend. No, it's about changing cities and nations and seeing lives saved. That's the vision. Can we make that a reality in 2016? With energy, what was the first thing? Energy and effort. With energy and effort, we can. And it's going to take that to make that a reality. Why? Because Reading needs to hear and see. I have to be careful what I say here. I'm not against street preachers. I'm reluctant to point the finger because I know there's three pointing back at me. But I have to say, I'm not convinced that the right message is usually presented when I walk down Broad Street and see some of the street preachers out there. This gospel, which I'm talking to you about, has to be seen and experienced, not just spoken. And that's why church and disciples need to be so much part of the same message, because it's the gospel community which bring in the gospel message. And it's not just for a one-off out there that somebody, it's to be part of a family, the family of God. And they need to see and they need to experience love and power and the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in their midst. Some of you might know this guy. He became a Christian. He was telling me nothing changed. On the way to cell every week, he would stop by for, well, do you remember when he gave the interview? He called it a game of Scrabble. Do you remember what Scrabble meant? Just, who knows what Scrabble meant in this term? Some of us don't. Okay. Well, rather than using the sex word, Pete would refer it to Scrabble. And then young and old could understand what he was talking about. So on the way to cell every week, he'd stop by for a game of Scrabble with a girl. And it wasn't love, it was just sex. He was a Christian. His life wasn't changing. He prayed the prayer. But this wasn't New Testament conversion. This was, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I don't even know whether he was saved. I don't know whether that prayer works all the time if nothing else changes. Ooh. Careful what I say there. But there's got to be a change inside to confirm that something's happened on the inside. But if, in Pete's words, then Jim began to disciple him. And because Pete was willing to listen, he began to change. And Scrabble became a thing of the past. He realized now it had to go. Because he was becoming a disciple of Jesus. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, even the cell were all good. But Pete, like all of us, needed someone to help develop and disciple and challenge him into a man of God. Now, Pete would be the first to say that he's not arrived, but he's on the way. And this ex-homeless drug addict, and he was on the streets for, I think it was 14 years or something, found God, found a good church, and he found a mentor who loved him and taught him how to become more like Jesus. And now, a few years later, well, it's quite a few, but 5, 6, 7 years later, in just a few weeks' time, Pete is going to be in charge of Hope House. Jim and Heather are moving. Jim and Heather are moving out. They will have overall supervision, but Pete is going to be based there running Hope House. What a transformation. It wouldn't have happened just by putting your hand up. It happened because he was discipled and equipped, and he had a willing and teachable heart and was prepared to say no to Scrabble when it wasn't appropriate and yes to God and follow him. Pete used to come around regularly to us. Well, he was doing the marriage course at the moment, but he used to come around regularly. So Jackie and I have got to know him quite well, and he's single, and he decided if that's God's will for him, then that's okay. He knew the consequences of that. Because a disciple of Jesus, a single disciple of Jesus, that meant remaining celibate. And Pete said, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. So I want to follow him. He said this around our dinner table. We have some quite interesting conversations around our table. But he also told us, but I put a prayer out to the Lord. And if there was a wife out there for me, this is the shape, this is the size, this is the age, this is that, this is the other. He did go into quite a bit of detail, and Jackie's mum just has a little smile and wonders what this church is all about. But it wasn't very long before Kat came along, and now Pete is engaged to be married to the woman of his dreams and prayers. And they're not following the culture of the world either. No Scrabble until marriage. Pete said I could say it. Because they both want to be followers of Jesus. They want to be disciples. And I believe God's calling them to disciple others too. So I want to say, as we go into 2016, let's commit afresh to God's plans and purposes for us as a church. But also to be great hosters of his presence. I've lost another important tweet, which is not there. It's gone from my notes. I'll put it up there. And, oh, it's not even on there. Have we had Alan Scott yet? Okay. Oh, there he is. Okay. Church growth, this is Alan Scott. Church growth is a good thing, but it's too low a goal. Resist the temptation to sacrifice presence on the altar of growth. I want to say, with all that I've said, such a big amen to that quote. We're not talking about, we need to amen both, by the way. We need to amen growth and souls and disciples as well as presence. It's not one or the other, it's both. And it's not growth at the sacrifice of the presence of God. So when Malcolm comes and talks about energy and effort, yes, I say big amen, but it's with the Holy Spirit's help and his energy inspiring and working through us. So that when we come together, people experience presence. When we meet in our cell, where two or three meet, he is there in the middle, in the center. When we meet in our homes, when people come into our homes, presence doesn't go out the window. Presence is there. Because we want to be good hosters of the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. When we go into our workplaces, we take him with us. Presence goes with us. Or it doesn't. But I mean, the challenge is that we take presence with us. We take him with us. So I want to agree, this guy's seen his church grow massively in the last few years. And he's saying, absolutely right, we have to resist the temptation to sacrifice presence on the altar of growth, more souls, more disciples this year, Lord, more commitment to a vision, a structure, and a system, but filled with the presence of Jesus. That needs to be our goal and our emphasis for this year. So we become great hosters of his presence. So let's be thankful. Let's be thankful people. Let's be joyful. Happy laughter attracts. Let's live called and not just saved. Let's make 2016 the year to live God's dream, his dream in our lives. Life's too short and our calling is too important to let stuff get in the way. We spoke a couple of years ago about little foxes which ruin the vineyards. Comes from Proverbs. Little foxes, got 2 weeks to deal with little foxes. Let's get stuff out of the way. No offenses, no lack of forgiveness, no lack of agreement and unity. We're going to work those heart issues and make 2016 the year to live his dream. So let's live, let's give, let's serve, let's be intentional about changing this town for the glory of Jesus. Would you agree with me? Amen. Say a big amen and let's stand together. Amen. Let's stand together and we're going to sing a song and then I would like us to break bread together. And I just want to explain about the communion as we'll bring it out to the front here. I think there's stuff at the back too. But I want us to commit to Jesus and his dream and purpose for our lives. And the communion meal is a covenant meal. It's a covenant meal. It works horizontally and it works vertically. And of course, I'll go read the scripture later, but of course we're thanking God for what he's done for us. But I would like us to be able to share some bread and juice in a moment or two with each other to say, this is God's dream. I'm committing to that, to play my part in this next.